Thank you. A couple of weeks ago, I went to Pennsylvania for my annual visit with my family. Now, when I go, my goal was to get together with my first cousins, with my nieces, and their families. So usually, I make arrangements in advance, lining up lunch or dinner, planning activities for us to do. But this time was different. This time, they would be away. And one of my nieces was the mother of the bride. The other nieces and their families, they were also involved in all those preparations. And so the thought occurred to me that that week before the wedding was going to be a very busy time. So I decided not to do what I usually do for my annual visit. This year, I did not arrive with a calendar of events. I just did not think there would be enough time to accommodate what normally happens. I did not attempt to line up any dates or activities with those in the weddings, and I cut way back to the degree that I normally do with others. Sometimes life asks us to step outside of our usual practice and allow for a different experience. But this is what I did, and it really worked out quite well. Sometimes we get caught up in doing the usual things in the same old way. But life does not present itself to us in the same old way. It moves and it acts in a variety of ways, asking us to be open and receptive to its current form of expression. And then it is up to us to accept or to reject what is presented. Now, adapting to a new form may require a change on our part. Sometimes the adjustment is pleasant, sometimes it's rather painful. And sometimes we simply decide to skip it altogether. Whatever our choice may be, our decision reflects our view of life, and then that will be our experience. The challenge for us is to determine what is necessary to our experience. What exactly is it that we would like out of life? We have noticed that when we move in a particular direction, that we will experience all that is contained in that direction. Any activity on our part, it will express in a way that is compatible with the reason for the activity. So you see, we really do need to be mindful of what it is that we accept for ourselves. Having made our determinations, the laws that govern manifestation will enact or put into place what it is we have deemed to be the necessary thing. It can be no other way. It is law. We've talked about this before. Remember, the purpose and the function of law is to express. When we consider the experience that we call daily living, we discover that much of life is spent in the activity known as busyness. That is, doing all of those things that life demands of us. When we determine to move in a particular way, life then demands that that way be fulfilled. And it will be done unto us according to our belief. Now, during this time of daily living, we accept certain responsibilities, and each requires something of us. We consider our responsibility to our family, to our fellow men. We will notice that each requires our time or our attention, even our dedication or devotion. And having accepted the responsibility, we commit ourselves to fulfilling what it is that we have agreed to do. Lots of commitments. There is the commitment to our job, to our occupation, or perhaps to our boss. It is what we do for a living. Surely something is demanded of us. We fill our spare time doing those things that we like to do. Perhaps we take classes to learn a new language or how to play a musical instrument. Perhaps we join a book club. We cultivate relationships, getting together with friends for dinner or perhaps a movie. We may even join a church, become involved in its activities, serving on committees and helping with events. And yes, certain things are required of us. We have made a commitment, and it demands to be fulfilled. Before long, we find ourselves very busy, and many times we get caught up in the busyness. When we take the time to ponder about life, we discover that life manifests as activity. It is the nature of life to be active. We are this life. Life does not come forth as idleness. To be consciously one with life's activity may require some hard work, but that is part of fulfilling oneself on earth. In addition to living life in this way, we should also find joy in doing what it is that we do. Life's hard work is not meant to be difficult, nor should it be considered a chore to be endured. What we do as our activity should be a joyous experience, fulfilling God's reason for expression. Dr. Salazar told us that when we lose our joy in doing what it is that we are doing, then it is time to move on. Since life manifests as activity, it is natural that we move in and out of experience as part of that activity. The key for us is to discover the activity that brings joy and fulfillment. When we make a commitment to a particular path, life demands that we fulfill it in a way that is worthy of its expression. And if we were unable to do so, it means that we simply have not yet found what moves us and stirs us. There is an intensity involved in what we do, and it is this intensity that allows it to manifest in a certain way. Now, what we call hard work refers to the practice, the time, the devotion required to allow something to come about. And really, as long as we are involved in a particular activity, we must be diligent to its requirements. Those of you who are parents, you took on a responsibility to raise your children until such time when they could govern themselves. You didn't just do this now and then, on a weekend, or perhaps a special occasion. You didn't even do it just for a few years until they were in grade school or high school, or they were finally off to college. No, you were in it for the long haul, and you could not let your guard down. You could not stray from your parents' duties. The art of parenting demands attention, and that is part of the commitment, and so it is with much of life. Anything worth doing brings its standard for expression. When we take on a certain activity and then commit ourselves to its fulfillment, we establish in us a standard for expression. For instance, every Sunday morning we enjoy music as part of our worship service. Our musicians are professionals, and each has made a commitment to their music at all times. Now, because of the level of their talent, it is entirely possible that they could arrive on a Sunday morning at 5 till 11 and fulfill their commitment to provide the music for that particular Sunday. But our musicians, they don't do that. They have established a personal standard for their musical expression, one that requires them to arrive early and practice the music for the day. They rehearse the music for that day's service. They even rehearse the hymns. Yes, they actually sing the hymns. Now, they have done these hymns many times before, but that was then, and this is now. They do not rely on past performances for today's presentation. Their personal sense of integrity simply will not allow it. Remember, anything worth doing brings its standard for expression. I have also noticed that many times what is worth doing does require hard work on our part. Many of the early divine science ministers talked about doing the work. I suppose they could have said hard work. I say this because living the spiritual way of life requires discipline, and we are not always able to focus in this way. We have become distracted by daily living with its demands and its requirements. The early divine science ministers, they understood this. They were quite clear that this way of life, it is not for the faint of heart. What they meant by work was the commitment, the devotion, the dedication necessary to be the avenue for God's expression on this earth plane. For them, it meant being steadfast to their time of meditation. It meant being true to the principle of the omnipresence of God. For them, it was all about truth, the truth about God, about life, and about us. To be steadfast in truth requires us to look beyond the appearance, to lift our eyes on high, and behold, only Him. Our founder spoke to us of affirmations, a way of declaring what we know to be true of life. But they also cautioned us that just speaking the words, it is not enough. Truth is an experience, and it must be received in the heart in order for it to become our reality. It is in this place that the joy for life resides. Today's Bible verse reveals that He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Christ is our identity, and it is this identity that is life itself. It's what we call eternal life. The journey called the spiritual path may appear long and difficult at times, but the attainment of truth is the prize of the high calling. Any other experience, well, it pales in comparison. It is every man's and every woman's destiny to know themselves in this way. As we practice the principle of the omnipresence of God, what is contained in that principle becomes our way of life. And yes, let us not be fooled. The spiritual life also brings its demands. It demands that we pray without ceasing. This means keeping our mind, our heart, and our soul alert and alive in God. The only way for God to express on this earth plane is as man. God expresses as us. The Creator shows forth as its creation. All glory is given to the One who has sent us. The spiritual life demands this expression. We are not the deprived, desolate, sinning individual that the world calls its identity. When we acknowledge God in all our ways, we are consciously one with the life that expresses the divine nature, not yet in the flesh. The spiritual life demands obedience to the principle of the omnipresence of God. This principle cannot be taken for granted, nor can we pull it out and practice it just now and then. God cannot be used in that way. No matter how familiar we are with the principle, if we don't practice it, we will lose conscious awareness of it. And what we are not aware of, well, we cannot express. It's not there. When we are not obedient to the principle of life, we will not benefit from it. And then one fine day, we will find us standing out there in that far country, separate from that life that brings joy, satisfaction, and fulfillment. We did not practice the principle, nor did we live the truth that we thought we knew to be so. In our time of daily living, it brings distractions, and in that time we accepted another identity, one that knows itself as flesh and blood. We have lowered our standard for expression, and now there is work for us to be done. But not all is lost. God did not go anywhere. And let us remember that we don't have to die in order to go to God. God does not act in the future. In God there is no time, no past, no present, and no future. There is only now. The principle of the omnipresence of God is an activity of now. All of that time that we spent amusing ourselves in the far country, it did not negate the principle. At any time, we may lift our eyes on high and be obedient to the truth that lives us and moves us. I personally think that the reason that we let down our guard, the reason that we go in and out of spiritual awareness, is that basically we are mentally lazy. Maintaining a meaningful standard for expression, it is hard work. And many times we simply find it easier to slip and slide through the mental realm of thought and ideas, involving ourselves in surface living. That is nothing too deep, nothing profound, and nothing lasting. After all, that would be hard work. And it remains hard work as long as we try to accomplish in a material way. There is no joy in work that involves trying to make something happen. There's really no joy in stressing and straining in order for us to accomplish or achieve. And please let us not weary ourselves with trying to use truth to do something for us. Let us go back to our standard for expression. Again, I said, anything worth doing brings its standard for expression. And it is our personal sense of integrity that establishes our particular standard for expression. The spiritual life demands that we be still and know, that we acknowledge God in all of our ways. It asks us to turn to Him above all else. Doesn't ask us to leave this world or to forgo our responsibilities. It doesn't even ask us to deny ourselves the pleasures of life. It simply asks us to be true to life, true to that life that is worth living. Everything is an act of consciousness. We enjoy life, but we are not to be attached to it. We do not attach ourselves to ideas, thoughts, opinions, to persons, places, or things. It is in consciousness that we determine what is worthy, and it is there that we practice the presence. The spiritual relationship, it must be cultivated, it must be nourished and maintained. All of this is done in consciousness, being true to principle, doing whatever is required of us. Life demands certain things of us. God requires but one thing, and that is to know Him above all else. Ancient mystics and holy men, they all speak of that presence in us, the one that is worth knowing. We are told to acquaint now thyself with Him and be at peace. Jesus identified His presence of Christ, and then He called it our true self. To acquaint us with this self, we must release that idea of us as a human being. The identity that we call the greater self is not something that we put on like we would a coat or a jacket. It's not outside us. It is within us. We will not find it with the mental thought. Thinking does not reveal it. It is an experience. It is sensed and it is felt, all without giving thought. Let us not weary ourselves over those demands and requirements of daily living. The eternal life is the one we are meant to live, and really, it's not really us living in a particular way, but rather Christ living us. Paul told us, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth me. And so it is with us. To be one with His presence allows it to do the work, to guide, direct, to provide those necessary words, actions, and deeds. Let it be our practice to learn, to be still and listen, so that we may be true to the life that we are meant to live. This morning we have the opportunity to acquaint ourselves with Him and be at peace. Would you join me now in our closing meditation? As we begin our meditation, we still our thoughts and our emotions. God is here, right in the midst of us. God is here. And when we enter the silence, we find us in the sanctuary of our own soul's awareness. It is this awareness that bears witness to Christ, the only begotten child of God. Truth reveals that we are that child, that's who we are. The eternal life is its life. In a time of trial and tribulation, a time of uncertainty, let it be our practice to enter this sanctuary of the holy place, acquaint ourselves with Him, and be at peace. And we listen as the voice speaks, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." The promises are given, and they are received in the heart. We listen with the inner ear. We discern with the eye divine. And then we know, God is in this place, and I know that it is so. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May He cause His light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within and acknowledge Him, so that He may lift your consciousness and give you His peace. Amen.